We thank you again in the wondrous name of Jesus. We thank you as your people. We are yours. And Lord, we can just say, bless us with your presence, because that's the way that we are blessed. We know that you're here. We've asked it in your name. Lord, you're in the midst of us. God, help us to see your Son this morning. Help us to see him in the fullness of his power and his might and his love, and so preciously in his caring manner towards each and every life. Help us to see that he knows us. Help us to see that he knows each and every one's care here today. That he knows the thought that's going on in a head right now. Peace be still. Peace be still. Lord, you're bringing forth your bread this morning. Help us to feast upon it. Help us to tend upon this word without distraction this morning. Help us to enter into the very beauty and the magnificence of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus this morning. Lord, thank you for blessing us so. We ask that your Spirit would open lives, open the Word of God to us. Let it work effectually. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, brothers and sisters, we're going to kind of wrap up, I believe, this power series we've been talking about, this power series. And I hope we understand that even though we may, in a sense, leave this thought, may this wondrous power by His grace just continue to dwell in this meeting. And I do believe it will, because we are looking to Him. And He is, praise be to God, He is the power of God. And today we're going to study and think about power in the church. Power in the church. So let's open our Bibles. Love to say that. Let's open our Bibles to the 5th chapter of Ephesians. And we'll start reading from the 24th verse. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And we're going to really emphasize this 27th verse this morning. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now notice here, this church is not powerful because of how many people it's got going on in there. It's not powerful because of the quality of the entertainers. It's not powerful because of man's applause or of eloquent speakers. It's not by power or by might. She is powerful, brothers and sisters, because she is glorious. She is glorious. And truly, I believe our hope, and I can say our hope, not just my hope, but our hope, goal, aspirations for this meeting is that may we be part of that glorious church. And there is a difference. Did you know that? Oh, there is. There's a great difference. As believers, I want us to understand the Word of God. As believers, we are now part of the church. Absolutely. We are part. Once you became a child of the King, once you accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, you became part of that church. You became part of the body of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? His wondrous body. But praise God, I am thrilled to be able to stand here today and to say that I know, all because of grace, that this glorious church, as we're reading here today, is the church that will be presented by Him and to Him in the fullness of His glory. In the fullness of His glory, is this part of the church going to be presented to Him? And I'll cut to the chase with it. This word glorious in our text, it has a very special meaning. See that word glory throughout the Word of God? See, in the Greek, a word can mean many different things. Sometimes you'll be led to look it up, and I hope you are. Study the word. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Praise God. Study it. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you discernment in it. That's the only one. It's never going to come by here. Praise God. May we be learning about the Word of God here. Because that's when it's going to work effectually. But this word glory, it means gorgeous. Now come on. Who'd have thought? How could it not be, huh? It means gorgeous. It means stunning. But the very first word is it is gorgeous, but stunning. The most pleasing. The brightest of illumination. And praise be to God, this is what He has in store for us. This is the excitement that increases at an increasing rate in our life. Praise be to God, I'm so thankful that the Lord showed me through His universe. They thought it was all dying down. They can't understand it, but it's expanding and increasing at an increasing rate. And I believe that God so sweetly has said, Son, this is what I want to do for you. This is what I want to do for my people. It's so good. I don't just sit at home and say, wow, I know what salvation is. I know what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. And man, I know about this bride of Christ. I guess I can just sit home on Sundays and watch football. It increases at an increasing rate. It's the love of God that takes a hold of our life. It makes it the sweetest, most cherished, most valuable thing that we could ever even imagine. I think about the beautiful things that God has put into my life, whether it's my wife or my children, my family, all these things. But the greatest of all is Him. Amen. And when I say the greatest of all is Him, I don't say that lightly. I'm talking about the most cherished. Not just God first. No, His Son is my love. He's the lover of my soul. I can't wait, by the grace of God, for Him to take my thoughts and to begin thinking about Him every day. And He's the one that's got to take them. He's the one that's got to give them to me. He's the one that gives me the very heart of God to be after that, to love Him as He should be loved. I tell you, it is such a wonderful, wonderful courtship that the Lord is giving us at this time. But again, it's gorgeous. It's pleasing, the most pleasing. And how beautiful and perfectly He lays this out for us. And you think about in this chapter what we're reading here. Why not? Because this is the company, brothers and sisters, that is by His side. I want you to think about that. By His side. Because if you really go into the meaning of this words, or these words where it says, present it to Himself, the better translation of that is, He's going to present it by His side. Now there's a very important meaning in that, by His side. If you read the Word of God, this isn't talking about that company of believers that will be standing before the throne. Oh, get into Revelation. You're going to see people standing all over that wonderful kingdom of God. There's people standing before the throne. This isn't them. And then it shows you in another place that there's people standing, I'm talking about believers, that are standing on the sea of glass that are looking at Him, singing hallelujah. But that's not who I'm talking about today. And then even in Jude 24, it was so precious. I was reading about this other company that's standing there beholding the glory. Just saying, my oh my, this is a wonderful thing. But I'm telling you, hallelujah, this is the bride of Christ that's standing there that is the glory of God. She's got it. She is His glory. Praise the Lord. I was thinking there in 1 Corinthians 11:7, that woman is the glory of man. Now ladies, that should make you feel good, huh? But you know what He's talking about there? I believe in a natural sense He is talking about that. I've never seen anything more pretty than, well, I know I'm going to get in trouble, but my wife. I hope that's with you too, brothers. But He's talking about His bride. Yep. That's who He's talking about. He recognizes that she is His praise. Did you know that? That His adoration is toward her. That this is His wife. That He is pleased with her. That she is overwhelming to Him. And I got to thinking about this, and the Bible tells us that she's perfect. And did you know that she is perfect? She is perfect to Him. To Him. And I got to thinking about that, and again, we have that saying that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, isn't it? Amen? Amen. And let it be that way. Don't let people tell you what is pretty. Let God tell you what is pretty. And I mean that. And you think about this. I don't know what matters to you, but it's what God sees is what matters to me. And in God's eyes, she is perfect. Oh, hallelujah. She's without spot, it says here. She's without blemish. And I know we're thinking, well, how could that be? Well, over and over, you're going to be encouraged. Again, and it's all by the grace of God. You've got to get it, brothers and sisters. You are righteous. You are holy. And you're perfect before God. God can't look upon anything that's not perfect. He looks upon you because He sees His perfect Son. You got to see that. He sees His perfect Son when He looks at you. That's why He calls you His children. He calls you a son. I want Him to call me a mature son. I want Him to call you a mature son of God. That's why we're here learning about this wonderful Word of God, is that we would grow up into Him in all things. Nothing short of the fullness of glory. See, that's God exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. That's our God, and that's what He wants for us. And the perfection is already there. And you see what it is, brothers and sisters? We need to have faith in Him. Now, I know you're sitting there going, No, we need to have faith in Him. And when I talk about faith in Him, I'm talking about faith in His thoughts. You know what God's thoughts are? They're right here. These are the thoughts, okay? And these thoughts present the most glorious, grandest pictures that you will ever see. And that's the next thing, is we need to have faith in His thoughts. We have to have faith in His vision. And very specifically, we have to have faith in His vision of how He sees me. How He sees you. How He sees us. That's the faith that I need. Not just say, well, I believe in Jesus. Praise God that we believe in Jesus. But I want to believe in His Word and what it's about at this time. What He's trying to bring us out of and into. And I'm telling you, it's joint heirship with Jesus Christ. Joint heirship. Did you hear me? As man and wife, joint heirship is what's being offered today. People don't want to talk about that. Oh, it's too much. Sure, it's too much. But God wants it for all man. And He does. His words so specifically say, I would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. But you see, when I can believe Him and how He sees me, faith then starts to set me apart unto God. Apart unto God. It's a wonderful word. It's called sanctified. Never knew what that word was. Sanctified, is that a coffee? Is it purified water? I just didn't know. But sanctified. Set apart to God. See, what He sees for me. How He can take a Christian, truly, not necessarily physically out of this world, but praise be to God, He can take me spiritually out of this world. All this world's junk doesn't affect me anymore. Praise be to God. I get to that mind that was also in mind, that was in Christ Jesus, and it's beginning to control and direct and rule and reign in my life. And there's beauty and there's peace and there's comfort and there's rest. And I can then start to see all of the things that, you know, people always want to know what the future holds. No, the Word of God, it's right there. Then you won't be bent out of shape why these people are acting like they are. Why this world is waxing worse and worse. Why is the evilness of man accelerating? Why is there a form of godliness that's just rampant in the world today, but they're denying the very power thereof, which is His Son, Jesus Christ? God said it would be that. They can't help but do what God said that they would do. But even Christians, the love of many would wax cold. They would start turning to the philosophy of man. How much philosophy of man are you hearing? I hope very little, if any. But if you recognize it at all, on our radio, on our TVs, all of the Christianity that's coming. However Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. But let me tell you something. I don't want watered down versions. I want the meat of the Word. And God said this was the time to go get it. A bride that's going to feast upon Him. Not just feed, but feast upon Him is who He's looking for. And she's going to be toned, and she's going to be ready, and she's going to be fully developed. And she's going to have the vision that He has for her. But I see all of this stuff going on, but I'm so thankful again that it is His Word that sets me apart. That I can start to believe Him. Really, you heard me say it the other day, which was so precious. You know, I finally started believing God and what He said. It wasn't just, I believe that your Son is my Savior, which I'm so thankful for and all of this. But really, you really said that and that you said it to me. That it's mine. You know what I'm saying? And it's amazing. You talk about lights going off. It was so precious to me. What a revelation that you are speaking to me. This is your proposal to me. That I am more than hearing you audibly. It's causing my heart to move to you. See, we start seeing how God sees us, brothers and sisters. It's going to cause you to look beyond your failures. It is. When you start having the vision of what God has for you, you're going to be able to look beyond your shortcomings. You're going to be able to look beyond your imperfections. Because I'm going to tell you the whole key to it. Hallelujah. Is it's because you're finally looking into the very glory of God, which is in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. When we look to the glory of God that's in the face of His Son, you'll stop worrying about yourself. You will. And I'm really talking about all of the problems that you have. I'm talking about those things that you seem that you can't get rid of. See, Brother Paul was caught into that a little bit too. He said, there's a thorn in my flesh. This was Brother Paul, the one who brought forth this wonderful mystery of the dispensation that truly there was a high calling of God in Christ Jesus that He wanted us to be one with Christ, that Jesus was looking for a bride. But it said three times he sought the Lord. He said, Lord, there's this thorn in my flesh. A lot of people speculate it might have been his eyes, might have been how homely he was. You know what? I don't know what it was, but praise the Lord, I know it was something that was distracting him. I know it was something that he thought he had to get rid of in order to go on with the Lord. And I saw the precious victory that was delivered in him when he accepted that Jesus saying, you know what, son? I'll take care of it. I'm going to leave it there. I just want you to see above it. I want you to see beyond your imperfections, son. I want you to see beyond your shortcomings, son. And I want you looking right into my face. Because you know what he said? When I see him, I'm going to be like him. So I think I ought to start seeing him right now. And I'm going to start to be like him a little bit more every day. What do you think about that? What's time to God? It's nothing. That we may grow up into Him in all things. That transformation is happening now. Oh, I pray we see it. Oh, I pray we see it. And see, brothers and sisters, I was thinking about this change. When we look to Him, we really are changed, aren't we? And it's exciting. I appreciate when people say, oh, I see the change in you, brother. I can see the love of God increasing in your life. And I'm telling you, I can say the same for you. And it's so marvelous to watch. And I'm not talking about just a change from attitude. That's the wonderful byproducts. It is, isn't it? To have a positive attitude about things. Instead of always walking around and saying, oh, I love you, Lord. And glory to God. And where's my testimony? And, you know, it's just not there. But thank the Lord that He can change an attitude. Yes, that He can change my life from being depressed. Yes. And thank God that He changed my life from sin. Oh, amen. But I'm talking about something he's bringing to me. Son, I'm changing you from glory to glory.
Amen.
Glorious church, brothers and sisters. He's laying it out, isn't he? Hallelujah. Listen to him. Listen to him. Take the greatest of changes. Take the greatest. And I really do believe that many here are fought. And I've been there. And sometimes I go there. You're never going to be changed from glory to glory when you keep using your mind to get there. I've said it many times before. It's not how much you know. It's how much is working in you. Oh yeah. There's a lot of people that know a lot about the things of this word, in a sense of what it says. But unless you believe it, it won't work effectually. And that's the truth. I don't want to talk a good talk. I want to walk a good walk. Man, I want to run a good run. I want to magnify the grace of God. I want the love of God just overflowing in my life. I don't want to be hypocritical. I don't want you to look at a man. I want you to see Jesus in me. I just want you to see Jesus in me. There was a way that we could ever get truly out of the way. I know it's going to be the day that we really see him face to face. But brothers and sisters, as we go on that walk and we can allow him to do it. And I know how that enemy gets in there and he says, "Oh, look at what you did today." No, it wasn't. This is God's work. You're God's work. Any goodness that's ever been in you is God's work. If you will really let him work, you will stand with his son someday by his side. Yes. And he will say, "This is my glory." Hallelujah. "Yes, Lord, you're my glory." How could you say that? "Get over here. You're my glory." I never saw a bride come up sheepishly, everyone I've ever married. They come up here and they're radiant, they're glorious. They are. And they know in their heart that groom is accepting them fully. He wants to be with her. He's desiring to be with her. He can't help but anticipate the day that he's going to be with her. And you know it. And how much more does our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ love you to be with you that day? If there's anything that he doesn't know, and I don't think there is except one thing, I really do believe it in my heart. "Father, when are you going to let me go get her?" Oh, Lord, help me get through it. Oh, hallelujah. See, this has got God's full purpose written all over it, doesn't it? That's why it's got to be taken out of Ephesians. Did you know that again? The word Ephesians means fully purposed. Oh, only God can do this. I hope it thrills your heart. But see, brothers and sisters, this is beyond the faith of justification. It is. Praise the Lord that he's given us this faith for justification. That I believe that I am accepted. Like we were talking before anything really began here yet today. Is, "Lord, I'm accepted because of your son. I am justified just as if I never sinned. I can come boldly into that throne of grace." That's why that veil was rent in twain. In the Old Testament, in that tabernacle in the Holy of Holies, they couldn't go in there. You can go in there freely. You're invited to go in there. You're not even invited to go in there. You're encouraged to stay. Staying. I don't want to go anywhere else. I just want to be right there. Hallelujah. In the Holy of Holies. And I know we're there this morning. I asked him believing, "Take us as a people into your Holy of Holies." I hope you see the throne room. He's here. It is marvelous, and you should praise him. And it's a wonderful thing to praise the Lord. But see, he's taken us beyond this faith of justification. He's encouraging us to have faith in glorification. Huh? Yeah. Faith in this glorious church. When that bride comes down, she's going to have the glory of God. Read that in the 21st chapter of Revelation. She's got her own light. She is so illuminated within with the love of God that she's like him. Why was it when John was, in a sense, caught in the Spirit and walking around with that one that was showing him the things that were to come? Do you know what John kept doing? Falling down and worshiping, didn't he? The person that was walking him around. And what did that precious brother or sister in the Lord, I don't know, do? Oh, pick him up. Get up. Stop that. I'm not worthy of that. I'm one of your brothers. Come on now. Yeah. It's real. There's nothing more perfectly ever put together than God's Word. I just glory in His wondrous perfection. But see, this glorification, brothers and sisters, is to be like Him. He's calling us to be fully grown, to be matured. See, He doesn't want us to be stunted. He told those Galatians, He said, "Who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Oh, ye foolish Galatians." Oh, it's by His Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the power. See how He brings it back to us over and over again? He wants us to understand again, it's that Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Overcoming all this. But I got to move along here. And it even gets better. Oh, amen. She's without spot. She doesn't have any blemish here. But I have to tell you what I've been overwhelmed with was thinking about these wrinkles. Now, I won't go too much on this, but I know there's some, not we. There's some in society that are very concerned with wrinkles. Pay a lot of money, a lot of creams, a lot of injections. And maybe I've been reading about it too much too, I don't know. Just as I am. Save my pocketbook. But I leave that to God. And you know what? I encourage Him to encourage you. But the wrinkles that we better be concerned with are the ones that He's talking about here. This is where we have to have our eye on this wrinkle that He's talking about. Because I do believe, brothers and sisters, that we truly are a people that gather together to rejoice and glory in that there is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That when He said that one star differeth from another in glory, and every man in his own order, and on and on and on and on with every other type and shadow that's ever been there that's so wonderful, you know what? He meant it. That He's going to have a bride. Yeah. That there are babies in Christ, and there are the full-grown, glorious, virtuous women. I should say women, in a sense. But that woman, that glorious bride, is going to marry Him. All right. I believe by the grace of God, He's encouraging us to go without the camp. That yes, a lot of people will hear this message, Christians alike, and say, "Oh, I don't want to go that far." That's dividing people. This doesn't divide people. Absolutely not. Because you don't believe the truth is what divides. Now that Word of God, it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it does divide right down into the very thoughts. Way past this bone, the marrow, the joints, and all of that stuff. But it gets right down to the thought. But I'm going to tell you, this is the greatest unity there's ever been in the Spirit, is when you come together and you believe God's Word and you know that there is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something about this sweet lady, this runner. She's without wrinkle. And this is what our text says here today. She doesn't have any wrinkles. Some have likened it to wrinkles of old age, which we just kind of mentioned a little bit about here. All right? And I do agree, in a sense, that this can be a type of it. Speaking of infirm Christians is what it's kind of alluded to there. Christians that might not have an appetite for the Word of God. Sometimes I know that by mom. She says, you know what, son, I don't feel like eating as much anymore. She's getting up there a little bit in age. And some of the other ones, they don't feel like they have an appetite as much. Thanks be to God, they have more of an appetite for the Word of God than they've ever had in their life. But see, we don't want to be a Christian who gets, in a sense, old in spirit, in a sense, and loses the appetite for the Word of God. That grows infirm, that grows weak, that grows weary, that grows tired. And see, you can even be a 18-year-old young person and have that kind of spirit that's growing tired and growing weak because you're not feasting upon the things of God. And it is a precise thought. You are what you eat. You've heard that? You are what you eat. And I'll tell you what, you fill up on the Word of God and you'll be like Him. He'll give you the power too. He'll give you the peace. He'll give you that confidence. Confidence in Him. Because it's Christ in me that is the hope of glory. But I also have to tell you, I was thinking as... And I appreciate it. I heard my sweet sister was talking about this on Thursday morning. A wrinkle, and we'll wrap this up, is a fold. Did you know that? It's a fold. And there were many folds, manifolds, if you want to talk of it that way, in the Old Testament. Yep. Things that were folded over, covered. There were types and signs and shadows. A lot of people like to know, well, what does this Old Testament stuff mean? You know what you got to do? You got to go learn about what Brother Paul was talking about before you even go over there, and then it'll start to open up to you. A lot of people just try to begin in Genesis and all of these different things. Go get, praise God, go get into that wonderful epistles of Paul. Let Him give you an opening of that, and it will unfold. It'll unfold. Yes, it will. And do you see that it was so exciting to me again to think about those folds, those things that we're covering, the prophets of old. I'm talking about Moses and Elijah, Daniel, the angels. They wanted to look into this. They wanted to see what was going on there. But you know what God said? He said, no, it's not for you. You cannot look into this. You're going to be absolutely satisfied. Full overcomer in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. But do you realize what's being offered to you today? It's all been unfolded, brothers and sisters. Every single bit of it. We've got it all. We have got it all. Hallelujah. The gospel of the glory is here. The Holy Spirit now can take all things. See, that's the beautiful thing. All the things of Christ. Brothers and sisters, let Him just sing this across your heart. Know this. I was looking at a man as I pulled in today, and there's quite a few, and my heart goes out to him. Homeless. He had his little bike. Every possession probably was in his little basket upon that bike. Care not for the things of this world, brothers and sisters. If you don't have a lot in this world, praise Him for it. Maybe you're not as tempted as some others. Know that your time is a-coming. Payday's just about here. Oh, yes, it is. We've got the gospel of the glory. I hope you go home at night and say, man, I am so rich. I was walking around my house the other day and I was thinking how rich I am. In Jesus. Oh, people used to think, Jess, you made some good money and all these different things. Oh, man, compared to what people make in this world, it's nothing. Somebody always makes something more. You look at the other guy that's got the bigger house, I want that. And you know what, you got that big house and somebody else got a bigger one. It doesn't stop, does it? It's a vicious cycle that'll eat you up. But I've got a God, I've got a lover that's got a bank account. I'm going to tell you something. He owns it all. Used to just tell Him a cattle on a thousand hills and all of these different things. But see, the Holy Spirit's come to us today and He says all things. I just can't imagine. It's all things. Everything. I'll take the things of Christ, I'll make them yours. The hidden things. What eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men. But the Spirit is revealing those today. The very glory of God. Yea, even the deep things of God. These are yours. There's nothing that could even compare to that. All the gold, all the riches. He's giving you everything. Think of it. He even paves the streets with what we think is the most valuable thing. This is the glorious church, brothers and sisters. She is His bride. She is the part of the church that is wide open. Not a fold upon her. She's a field that's prepared. There's no fallow ground. It's all broken up. All ready to receive the fullness of God. Not a fold, not a wrinkle. And why? Because she's perfectly in love. She's perfectly in love. She's just ready for Him. She's perfectly at rest. She's perfectly at peace. In His word to her. And praise the Lord, she finally cries back to Him, I am my beloved's. And as you go out of this building, you think when she cries, I am my beloved's. My beloved is God the Son. I am my beloved's. Much loved, fervent love. Draw nigh to me as to kiss. That's a worshiper. And His desire. Oh yes. He's completely consumed. Completely consumed with you. His everything. Everything, brother. Everything. Everything is mine. Is mine. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You. We appreciate Your word. Lord, You're dealing with lives today in the highest of the heights. God, help us to, again, just believe You and to know that, again, You're for us. If someone might be new here today and say, man, this is a lot of stuff. Lord, You said that You would be all wisdom to us. You said You'd be all knowledge. But most importantly, You said that You'd be that friend that would sticketh closer than a brother. You'd be that one that would guide us, praise God, into the paths of righteousness. And again, it's for Your name's sake. Now, Lord, help us to take this offering today. Lord, You've prepared this feast for us. And we'd ask again that You would allow us to digest it. Lord, I know it's going to be bitter to some of my brothers and sisters in their stomachs, and me included, that there is suffering in the way. And I know there's a lot of suffering out here this morning. But God, let them know that if you suffer with me, you're going to reign with me. Let them see the vision, Lord, of by my side. And in Jesus' name we say, amen.